In Actors Express upcoming production, a slave is offered freedom if he fights for the Confederacy. The Civil War drama is called Father Comes Home from the Wars by Pulitzer Prize-winning playwright Susan Laurie Parks. It's a three-hour epic in three parts. We're joined now in studio by Evan Cleaver, who plays the main character, Hero, and director Martin Damian Wilkins. Welcome to City Lights.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
First, a three-hour production. Wow. And the play is serious drama. For audiences who might feel daunted by the length, how would you convince them to come to the theater?
Well, I think it's perfect that you jumped right into that.
Can we talk?
Let's talk about
hours?
It. I think it's really important as theater artists that we, you know, I feel we're making a pact with the audience every time that they purchase a ticket to join us to say, we're going to take you on an incredible journey. And, you know, these days, particularly with the competition in entertainment, I mean, Netflix and chill is a big thing right now, where the big thing is, you know, 30 minutes, you watch an episode, and then you click on to the next one. So to ask an audience to come in, join us for 3 hours, you have one of the most incredible playwrights writing today, writing this play, and it is top-notch drama from her. And it definitely is a serious subject. But anyone familiar with Susan Laurie Parks' work, or if you don't know the work, she also writes it with a lot of love and a lot of humor. Mm-hmm. And so we really wanted to bring that into this production as well.
This play is an amalgamation of the Odyssey, the Bible, hip-hop, a Civil War drama slash romance, and there may or may not be a dog that talks. Martin may or may have not trained a dog to speak. I guarantee it will not feel long. I think people will get caught up in the intensity, the emotion, the humor, and it'll be over, you know, it'll feel like a jiffy.
That's a good point. And indeed, Susan Laurie Parks is great with a comedic touch. Evan, you mentioned the dog in the story. I'm very partial to talking dogs. Actually, I really believe they do and understand even more in multiple languages. And that brought to mind the Broadway play Sylvia, which was performed here several years ago. Although these plays are very different, how does the dog fit in?
Well, I think one, for anyone who's familiar with the Odyssey story, you know, one of the main points of that story is this notion of the fates. A person's destiny, which Susan Laurie Parks definitely carries over into this play. And so our talking dog, he brings that element into the play, particularly in the third part when we do actually see him. You know, part of the journey of going on this play with our character Hero is seeing him at three very distinct points in his life. And so when the dog actually enters into the play, it's a point where he's needing to make a very big decision about his future. You sort of deal with him like in his present and sort of, well, I would say you're dealing with him in his past, his present, and then when the dog enters into the story, into his future. And so he's helping him to see, hence Odyssey Dog.
The Susan Laurie Parks is fathoms deep. There's so many layers, and Martin's helping us all discover. I think one of the reasons there's a dog, we think of dog as man's best friend, mm-hmm. him being Hero's best friend. I also think that's my dog. That's my boy. I think she means it in that way as well. So I think it functions on a number of different levels.
Well, this is great because with the Odyssey as a literary device, this has been a template for many plays, movies, books. How does Parks reinvigorate the storytelling? You mentioned hip-hop. Can you give us some more detailed examples of where classical Greek drama meets the vernacular?
I think it actually primarily in the language. It was something that we really wanted to explore, even in conversations with the designers, how we decided on costume choices and whatnot. while she certainly uses it as the Odyssey as a jumping off point, she's not writing a historical drama. She really brings it into the present with the vernacular. So, you know, the actors come on stage and they'll talk to each other and say market, or they'll say true that. And so it allowed for us, and even in the performance of it, to really bring an awareness of, we didn't have to play these as they need to completely feel like characters set in 1862 and 1863. I think when what we hope is that when the audience sees it, they feel as though these characters are experiencing things that we are experiencing now, even in our own current cultural landscape.
Mm. The story centers on Hero, whom you play, and whom you play. I forget, you can't see with us, listeners. Hero is offered freedom in exchange for fighting with the Confederacy. Mm-hmm. What must he consider in this decision?
Martin asked me a question during rehearsal that sticks with me, and I think it's something that everyone can relate to. What would you do if you were offered what you want most for what you want to do least? And I think he has to consider the ramifications it will have for the people he'll leave behind. He has to consider his own physical and mental well-being, because war is war. It's very difficult and taxing. And what it means for the love of his life. This is a romance as well. But underneath it all, he's offered his freedom in exchange for going to fight for the Confederates. And he even says in the play, but I would be helping out on the wrong side, but it's freedom. So that conundrum, that tension that it creates, I think is what makes it so riveting.
Mm. If you're just joining us, this is City Lights on WABE, Atlanta's choice for NPR. I'm Lois Reitz, is here with you, actor Evan Cleaver and director Martin Damian Wilkins. We're talking about the Civil War drama, Father Comes Home from the Wars. The character of Hero, Evan, whom you play, must actually fight with, as he calls him, his boss master. How does their relationship change throughout the play?
Well, you know, I believe part of what makes Susan Laurie Parks so incredible is that she's written a fully realized three-dimensional character. Before Hero even speaks, he comes on stage with buoyancy. So it's not this woe is me, defeated slave. This is a man who's fighting for what he wants, for what he believes in, and remains relentlessly optimistic throughout the play. I think his relationship with Boss Master is intriguing because no matter what he does, Hero still chooses to see the good in him. And he still believes in him. He still trusts him. Now, audiences will have to decide whether or not that's a good decision, but I think he's someone who's optimistic enough to believe that his relationship with Boss Master, that he can prove he's worthy to be freed by how well he behaves. And I think that's very deep and profound. And I think that's part of the challenge of playing this character, to make that believable.
It's deep, profound, and sounds very risky for a hero. Which I guess is what makes him a hero. Martin, your point about people not thinking twice about immersing themselves in binge viewing for 6 hours, therefore do not be intimidated about coming to a play for 3 hours, is really very well taken, because with streaming now, that is something that is very common. I'm certainly one who has succumbed to that. And the idea of going through this live in real time with riveting actors and a compelling story, it is really important to impress upon folks.
Indeed, and I think, you know, part of streaming, what makes it effective is that you build the action so that at the very end, you leave with a sense of, I have to let the next episode play because I need to know what happens next. Susan Lurie Parks has done that in this play. One of the things that I think we talked about a lot in the process was that we should never approach it as if it's just an everyday thing. These actions actually have life and death consequences for these characters. And with those kinds of stakes, and I believe also within the setting and the fact that she did set it during the Civil War, and we are dealing with issues of race, we are dealing with issues of oppression, within a context of when we're discussing it within our own society right now, my hope is that the audience invests fully with us. And on top of that, we, with my wonderful set designer, we configured the stage so that it's actually an alley configuration, meaning the audience sits opposite each other. You are not in a proscenium configuration where you're looking at the stage. You see the performers on stage, and then you can look across and see your fellow patrons. You're all engaging in this piece together. So to me, I hope that's also helping folks to say that when those two breaks come down, I have to come back to see what happens next.
Do you worry that the audience will be distracted and look at one another? What's the benefit?
You know, it's interesting because I actually have, when I've told people that it's an alley configuration, that's usually what they bring up. I was like, oh, I don't like that because I feel like I get distracted. But, you know, part of it for me is I never want to create a falseness as if we're just sort of inviting you into this world and you completely lose yourself in it. I think sometimes, particularly with a piece like this, I want you dealing with not only what's happening on stage, but when you see that patron across that might be reacting in a way that might be like, oh, that's different than what I'm reacting to. Mm-hmm. I think it creates a conversation in the theater, and that's important to me. I think there's a worth in sort of losing ourselves in the work sometimes, but for this piece, that wasn't what I wanted.
I think that's one of the advantages we have over Netflix. You know, as much as I love Orange is the New Black and The Get Down, you know, being in a play in theater, they're breathing the same air as us. They're right there in the moment, 10, 15 feet away from us. And the audience becomes another character in the mm-hmm. play. They become the Greek chorus, so to speak. So, you know, yes, they can see each other, and they're more than happy in the first two previews to tell me what they think Hero should be doing with his life. You know, go that way, go that, don't put that on. And I love it. I think it gives us energy. It gives us something to push and pull against. Now, I'm not saying come to the play and stand up and do a monologue, but, you know, when people have organic, genuine reactions, I think that helps fuel the energy of this drama.
I think that can be said of live music as mm-hmm. well. No yes. matter how good our speakers, mm-hmm. Speaker systems, nothing replaces the live experience.
And let me tell you, there's nothing like, particularly when we've been in the room working for several hours, and for me, like, I was first brought on a year ago to this project, there's nothing like watching patrons connect in those moments and seeing it on their faces. Mm-hmm. That's exciting for me.
I was also interested in how the title is Father Comes Home from the War, not war, but wars. In 2 minutes that we have left, what are the many wars hero experiences?
Well, that's the exciting part. It's actually parts 1, 2, and 3 because Susan Lurie Parks' vision is to write 9 parts. And so we're not quite sure what those wars are quite yet, but we get to experience it rather than her writing all 9 parts and presenting it to us. We get to experience this as she's writing it. It's a really exciting concept.
I asked him that question mm-hmm. when I noticed the S, and I said, I'm only coming home from one war. but I think for the purposes of the show, because we're not privy to what happens in 4 through 9, he comes home from the wars, not just the Civil War, but the psychological war, the mental anguish. He's dealing with a lot of different wars metaphorically that he's coming home from. So I think that S makes a lot of sense when people come out and see.
Evan Cleaver, Martin Damian Wilkins, you're a delight.
So are you.
Wow. Wow. What insight and what a wonderful conversation. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. I'm a huge fan and supporter of NPR, and I'm a regular listener to City Lights, so this
it's
is a delight.
Not yes, even a true pledge.
Honor. Yeah. Yes, this is a true honor to be asked to come and speak this morning about this play that we're so passionate about. So, Atlanta, come on out and see. We want to see you, literally.
Martin Damian Wilkins, Evan Cleaver. Father Comes Home from the Wars, Parts 1, 2, and 3, opens this Saturday at Actors Express and runs through June 11th. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Thank you.